Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all our listeners.
What's happening in the wonderful West, mate?
A beautiful day here today, Peter. It was quite chilly overnight, but, you know, already quite warm here. Well, in the sun, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little chilly in the shade, but it's going to be a beautiful day here for sure.
Well, there's no excuse as to why they can't come out and see you.
No, we had lots of people. Saturday was our busiest Saturday in years.
Lovely.
Yeah, and it wasn't particularly good weather, Peter. I'm sure you got some of that wind. I'm sure most of New South Wales got it.
Oh, but it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was, yes. There was no outdoor testing on Saturday, tasting on Saturday and Sunday.
I love it.
So half of the chairs ended up down the paddock, Peter.
Oh, no. Buddy had a job. Bring back the chairs.
Yes, yes. Well, Buddy's not big on work. Buddy's big, although he, I admit, he makes a very good official greeter.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, until he wears himself out, of course, and then he just he sleeps on the grass there. He might open one eye if somebody walks by.
Yeah, I find that with my cat. I say, now, lie down, right? And she lies down. I say, close eyes, both eyes. You know, she's very sneaky. She closes the one near you but keeps the one away from you open so she can watch.
Yeah, well, that's Buddy. He's takes his official greeting job very seriously until he wears himself out. So,
oh, poor fella.
Then he's done. Yeah. So anyway, big news this morning, Peter. Apparently, the Australian vaccine for the COVID-19 is showing a very great promise.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought, how great is that?
Yeah, the one being developed in Queensland. So we've got some very healthy hamsters up there, Peter.
Very good. That's nice to know. Now we've just got...
Yeah. They're using hamsters as the test animals. They found that the strain of COVID-19 that the hamsters are able to catch and propagate between themselves is the same or very similar to the human, what's been infecting humans. So... yeah, so they're doing 120 human trials at the moment.
Right.
I think I'm not sure if they're going to expose them to the COVID-19 virus, but they're at least going to find out if there are any adverse reactions. So,
sure.
No adverse reactions, then they'll pass that phase of the test. So, yeah, so that's good news, Peter.
Gee whiz, I'll say, particularly for people like yourself, like small business owners, and people working one out, they might have a chance of making some money.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, Peter. I mean, we got 2 and 3 cases in New South Wales, and we're still shut down here. I mean, what's going on? There isn't a country in the world that would close down states and areas for 2 cases. I mean, they'd be out in the street having festivals, Peter. Look at Europe. You know, there's still Spain, UK, Germany. They're all over 1,000 cases. Poor old France is over 3,000 cases. UK's over 1,000 cases. And that, and they're trying to open up. Sure, they locked down. I think it was Manchester or wherever it was in the UK in the north somewhere. They put some restrictions in, like we've done here with Melbourne.
Yep.
You know, but why is New South Wales locked down?
You know? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's just stupid. You know, people like us, I mean, there's no such thing up here as, and not that I've heard of anyway, because the statistics, they don't publish them all that well. But, in regional areas, I see they're complaining in Victoria, regional areas. You know, they're devastating regional economies.
Yeah.
Oh, and they have no cases, never had any cases.
Do you know, I've actually put in a framework, if we are locked down, I just say, right, shut the door, put a notice on no entry, get my groceries delivered, get my scripts delivered. And someone said to me, but you're only in a small unit. Won't you get bored? I said, I don't get time to get bored. You know, that's just how it is.
Well, I know, Peter, but that doesn't help the small business guy.
No, that's true.
you know, and it doesn't help the unemployed person. Well, maybe the guy delivering the groceries or something, but, you know, it's just, they've devastated the economy, devastated it. And if you don't work for government or in a pseudo-government role, like hospitals or teachers or something like that, you know, you're devastated, Peter, or in a critical service, not critical, but, man, you know, services that we require, like food and medicine, pharmacies and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, the economy's devastated. They say, oh, well, the economy's only down, you know, 25 or 30%. But, Peter, that sector of the economy's down over 50%.
That's right.
Some cases 75%.
I mean, all you've got to do is walk around the shopping centres. And I noticed, I forget which one it was, but you don't pay the rent, you're out, and they shut you down. I mean, that's very negative.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's very short-sighted. You know, just and why destroy their reputation like it? They could work with the these people. You know, I mean, if these companies do shut down and leave the shopping center, who's going to move in there?
No one.
The economy's devastated, that sector of the economy.
Mate, it's like walking through a tomb.
Yeah,
I
know.
It really is. It's unbelievable.
Well, no foresight. That's the problem from those people. But then that's private industry doing that. So what the heck can you do? But I see anyway that U.S. is still working its way down. They're down now to about 50% of their peak level of 4 or 5 weeks ago. Slowly working their way down. But they're still 35,000 a day, you know, which for us would be about 2,000 a day or 1,500 a day because they got like 15 times our population. So about 2,000 a day, say, they are. But they're trying to carry on normal. Europe's trying to carry on normal. I think Spain shut down one of the northern areas in Spain because they had a bit of an outbreak. But Peter, as we've said for 6 months, you got to learn to live with it. Until an antidote, or not an antidote, vaccine comes along, you learn to live with it. You know, in past years, we've had bad flu seasons that have killed many more people than the coronavirus has. You know, I think 2 or 3 years ago, 3,000 people in Victoria alone died of the flu. So, or complications, you know, respiratory problems associated with it. So, you know, we have no perspective whatsoever. And we just, you know, we empty the kitty every time there's a little problem. And fortunately, there's no kitty to empty anymore, Peter.
No,
it's already
empty.
Yeah. And we're going next time. We have a bit of an outbreak. You know, what are we going to do? Nothing. Shut everything down, maybe, because that's what they do. But we're not going to be able to have all the subsidy programs because unless they start printing money. Of course, that's the next worry, Peter.
Well, but that devalues us completely, doesn't it, doing that?
Yeah, well, huge deficit. So, oh, well, we can fix this. We'll just print a little money. We'll be like the Wehrmacht government, wasn't it, before the war in Germany, where the currency went down to just, you know, a few thousandths of its original value.
Yeah, that's right. It did too. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're just waiting, although we were very busy on Saturday. We had to do a bit of social distancing here. But look, we had 14 people turned up in the same bus, Peter. I'm not sure how they do that. I thought that the regulation was 10 people to maximum to a bus. But
that's what I thought.
Anyway,
well, 10 in the bus and 4 in the boot.
We separated them all. We had a bunch of buses, you know, they're 50, or not quite that far apart, but they're 20 meters apart. So
sure.
Our theory is if you come together in a bus and you're staying in the same house here in the Hunter Valley, whatever they're going to do around here isn't going to make any difference, Peter.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, if they're on the bus and they're wearing masks, well, they're not going to infect anybody else.
Yeah, they don't. They're all from friends or family or whatever.
Oh, but fair enough. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we don't. We didn't have any masks around here. But anyway, Peter, I don't think this Victorian Premier, now he wants a state of emergency for another 18 months.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to last long enough to determine whether it stays for 18 months or not, Peter. I would think if there's an election in Victoria,
yeah,
he'll be back captaining a boat and running it up ashore somewhere.
Yes. Well, that's a good expression. I thought of another, but I won't air it here.
Yes, and I don't, you know, I'd be very surprised if that Queensland premier survives. You know, she's Queensland is totally dependent this time of the year on New South Wales and Victoria to keep their commercial sector of the economy, particularly tourism, going, because this is their peak season, and she doesn't seem to care.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I guess their bananas are flowing across the border coming south. You know, to shut out New South Wales, they have more cases than we have now, Peter.
Yeah, yeah,
they closed
amazing.
The border. We only had 3 cases yesterday.
Yeah, I think they had, what did they have, 12?
Like 7 or 9 they had or something, you know.
Yeah.
And she shut the border. You know, what's this? She's protecting New South Wales, so we're not allowing those infected Queenslanders into New South Wales, Peter.
Oh,
so they've got more cases than we have.
Maybe the bananas weren't bent enough.
Yeah, well, here's the point. They don't test near as much. And so the problem could be way worse. Mm. We don't test enough. You know, I mean, we don't. And part of the reason is they don't follow science, Peter. The science, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, found that spit has a better indicator of virus than sticking a swab up your nose out the back of your head. Through the back of people's nose.
Well, I can tell you something, that with the test, blood test I did at my GP's, and also the ones I did at the John Hunter, unbeknownst to me, they also, you go down the various lists of what they're testing for, and it says COVID-19, not detected. So they actually had a look anyway.
Yeah, well, I think that's good.
I think it's great. I think it's a terrific idea.
Yeah, no. Anyway, few things of interest in the medical abstracts that I was reading earlier yesterday and earlier this morning, Peter. They found that people that have stroke, if they have a blood transfusion, when they get to hospital, and, you know, right now they have this chemical, and I've forgotten what it's called, I don't have it in front of me, but you know, blood thinner that they inject, and if you get like get this injection within 3 hours, it has you know, beneficial effect on reducing the brain and the muscle problem. But what they found is up to 7 hours if you get a blood transfusion, you only need like 25% of your blood replaced, you can virtually eliminate the problem of paralysis and brain problem.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, and so this is going to become a standard treatment very quickly, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just in the paper. I don't have the article in front of me because, you know, I was doing some other things before I came on the air. We've had a little bit of a water problem this morning. When your water doesn't come under gravity, Peter, you're dependent on a pump to pull it out of the of the well.
Sure.
If you have an electrical problem, you know.
Yes, well, and it didn't.
But no, so this is great news because, you know, within 7 hours, if you have a stroke, usually you get to the hospital unless you're somewhere really remote within, you know, an hour or two. But they found that, and with this animals again, they found virtually no residual effect, Peter, of these animals that have had stroke if they give them a blood transfusion.
What a good idea.
Yeah. And there was another one, too, and this was heart attack, Peter. So they found that very deep artificial respiration helps heart attack victims to recover. And they're talking about really deep, that to the point even if you break a couple of ribs, it doesn't matter. And I would suggest that, I would suggest that the reason for this is, of course, when you're palpitating the lungs like that, you're moving oxygen into the blood system.
Yes.
Right? And so, and you're probably forcing blood through arteries as well.
Yeah, it's a good chance.
I'm not sure how you get deep resuscitation. You know, you got to use your knees or sit on the patient like rhythmically, I guess, you know, so.
Yeah, sit there and don't move.
Yeah, yeah. And so they've said that it's significant improvement in recovering and in minimizing damage, this deep resuscitation. So there's two. Stroke and heart attacks are common. So deep resuscitation, they're recommended for heart attacks, Peter, and get them to the hospital and a transfusion quickly. I don't know, you know, local hospitals, it's not a medical procedure that's probably approved and they won't do it, but they should think about it seriously, because transfusions are legal. It's the procedure for the ailment that's not legal.
Right.
You know,
right.
If it's not a recommended treatment by the medical association, they can't do it. Not that they won't do it, they can't. And so
not permitted.
Yeah. So what you need is a buddy guy. You know, same blood. Say, hey, if I have a stroke, you fix me, and if you have a stroke, I'll fix you.
Yeah, actually, I think it'd be good if we all knew what blood type we were.
Yeah.
And they never tell you.
No. Well, it gives them one up on you, Peter. We're talking about the medical profession, and I hate to hit them when they're under such duress here, but we're talking about that 6-year-old child in northern Queensland whose mother took the child to the hospital 6 separate days, and they sent him home every time with Panadol.
Yeah.
And anyway,
give him jelly beans.
Yeah, eventually she wouldn't go home, I guess, and they admitted the child, immediately sent him down to Cairns. They flew into Brisbane, and septicemia. He died of, I thought there was a law, maybe it's in Canada, but if you present at a hospital twice within 24 hours, they must admit you.
I'm not sure about that. I'll see if I can check.
Yeah, because I can't believe that they present 6 days in a row and don't admit the child. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, anyway, Peter, a nice glass of organic wine.
Oh, yes, please.
You may not fix all your health problems, but it certainly makes you feel better about them.
I was going to say, you become very pleasantly, yes.
Yes. Well, we've been threatening to have a chat again about organics and, you know, the benefits of eating non-sprayed food.
Oh, mate, you can tell the difference. They taste different.
They do. They're higher in nutrition, Peter, by quite a lot. The stuff in the supermarket looks good, but anything, as we know, that's sprayed with herbicides and pesticides has significantly reduced nutrition levels. And that's because antioxidants, which is what we're chasing, are the plant's immune system. And if the plant doesn't have to fight off mildews and disease and insects by developing an immune system, it doesn't. And so the vegetable grows fine in a healthy environment, but it doesn't have any nutrition in it, or at least not the same level.
Right,
because it didn't have to develop those immune system, those antioxidants, to keep itself healthy. So,
mate, you're teaching me very well. I actually found organic coffee.
Oh, talking about coffee, there was another. It's not a study. It was a study in the sense that they looked at 37 studies about caffeine, about coffee, Peter, and collated all the information together. Found out for absolute certain that caffeine is not good for pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, ladies, if you are pregnant, please forego your morning coffee.
Have a tea instead.
Yeah, well, it's got caffeine in it too. So.
Oh, yeah, that's a point.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure. And it also lowers your iron level, Peter.
Oops.
Up to 50% if you drink tea.
Yeah, I've got to watch that because, my red blood cells keep on dying, disappearing, and they've got to infuse me with that. So I have to be very careful. Maybe we need to have a look at your website, don't we?
Yeah, cellarwines.com.au, mix and match, down to a 9-pack, free delivery Australia-wide, Peter. So happy to. And of course, we've been open here and going full bore. Sunday we were not so busy, but Saturday we were very busy. So, welcome people here. No coronavirus out here, Peter.